Okay, we can come to order.
Back at Bill's Cola.
Welcome, it's good to have everybody here. I'm gonna make a couple of additions to the agenda. I wanted to get the EAA a chance to give a report as well. They've got several things going on, as well as the Coast Guard has some time. And then Matt just got back from DC, and I don't know if there's anything relevant to the airport, but I'd love to hear what he has to say. As a matter of fact, Deanna, I was wanting to, and I didn't get this organized, but I was thinking what I want to do is maybe have a standing reports in all of the, agenda. Just, we have a report section, and we're gonna have staff, tenants and FBOs, Coast Guard, and EAA. And I haven't seen Camp Riley in a while, so I don't know if they show up, then of course we can have reports. And so you guys know that you have time to talk in each meeting, and let me know if you're gonna need more than 4 or 5 minutes, and we can plan for that. But yeah, we definitely want to hear what you have to say. So anybody have anything before we get started with reports from the Coast Guard? Lieutenant?
I'll kick it off first. First off, I want to say thanks for the invite to these. So it's nice to hear what's going on in the community. We'd like to make sure we're staying up to speed and being good neighbors here at the Port of Astoria. With that being said, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to the folks that support the airport and all the Port of Astoria for all the help that we had over the last few weeks. We had the spring season advanced helicopter rescue school here. We host for about 4 or 5 weeks. We had units from all of the Coast Guard coming out to do some training. And then at the very end, we opened it up to some DOD squadrons that came out here and did some training. And so it's a little bit too much for us to take all on our own. So a lot of the fueling support, the extra ramp space that you guys provide is vital to allowing us to do that training. And so I just wanted to express our gratitude for being such great hosts here as we try and get this advanced training out to some other partners as well. So, that's the big thing I wanted to say. Andrew here is going to just touch on some of the projects that we have going on within the boundary lines, but just for awareness for you guys to see if you see some construction that's going to be coming out of our facility, some kind of aging issues that we need to take care of. So,
So a couple of big projects we got coming up. So the big one that's starting this summer in May is the ramp. So the two things that passed around, there's one is a picture of how we're going to operate while that first one is how we're going to operate while the ramp's getting resurfaced, and then the second one is kind of the scope of where they're going to be doing work to resurface the concrete pad out here where all our helicopters operate. So that's going to be going starting May, supposed to be done by October. We all know how that works. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, and then they should not be impacting any other airport ops, but obviously there's going to be equipment and people operating and all that kind of stuff, and equipment and the hazard of stuff going flying and all that kind of stuff. So get you guys awareness on that. We're working MOU with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw my email. I think I sent it probably before you left.
Okay.
We can go, I can send it again. Yeah. I'll like, hey, make sure we're all on the same page about moving the blocks and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Or that second picture, basically we're going to be operating out of the backside of our hangar and taxiing out to the closed taxi or the towards the abandoned runway down the closed taxiway, and then other ops will be as normal.
Sure.
So it should not be a big impact on anybody else, but it's, you're going to see stuff look a little different for several months while we're dealing with getting rid of 50s concrete.
30s.
Mr. Chairman, late 30s. May I ask a question to the Coast Guard? Is there, what's your stormwater plan?
The engineers, we're not engineers. I don't know who's, so Holden, Takahashi, he's the facility engineer. He would have all the details on all the environmental and stuff studies that they're doing.
They're not replacing all the concrete.
So there's no structural change. It's just a resurfacing. So I don't think there's any change to the way the drainage. Correct. Not at this stage. So everything as far as footprint remains exactly the same. It's just be a new surface, new painted lines, and all that stuff. They were originally talking about doing a full replacement of the ramp, but funding, of course, made it a limitation, so now it's just a resurfacing. Great. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Commander, if you get some fixed-wing assets in here, transient fixed-wing, are they going to be able to access that back area?
No, the area that's highlighted there. So historically, the Guardians, the little twin engine jets that we used to have would use that ramp area in the past when that runway was still open. Aircraft that we have now, I think, are larger footprints and aren't able to fit back there. So fixed wing will not be able to access back there. We don't anticipate Coast Guard fixed wing coming through during that time frame. If there are other DoD services looking to come and utilize the airport, we'll probably be asking for support on GA ramp space if that becomes the case. So we'll kind of communicate that as necessary.
I don't know.
Because aren't your fixed wing mostly for Magnuson Act fishing
service? So I mean, they're for all sorts of different missions. The closest fixed wing asset that we have, or fixed wing unit that we have, is down in Sacramento, California. They're currently equipped with C-27s. I don't know the specifics on their wingspan and weight dimensions, but they're there for all, yes, for fisheries patrols as well as logistical support missions. And then they are going to support search and rescue.
That's
also
a runway,
basically
the runway. Runway.
Thank
you.
Then the next closest from there is either Kodiak or Barber's Point. They're both C-130, and so much larger aircraft at that point.
Cool.
The only other project kind of in the near-ish future is redoing the roof. It's on the hangars, leaking like crazy. So that'll probably be the fall or early next spring. They'll be just redoing all the stuff on the roof. Again, limited impact hopefully on you guys, but it'll be people doing, non-aviator people doing construction in the city of...
So your full hangar project got killed?
For now. We're going to keep band-aiding until we run out of money, and then eventually it'll just fall to the ground, and they'll say, oh, maybe we should replace it. but that's all I have. Anything else here?
No, that covers the main projects. We're still fighting for some money to get some illumination on the ramp as well, some improved illumination right now. It's pretty dark at nighttime. We'll be doing that time off, so... again, once that's approved, we'll communicate roughly when and where and what that'll look like for the, you know, other participating aircraft and what that'll look like as far as illumination goes. So that's all I have.
That's great. So that's basically the discussion item of the ramp. Now, you were saying that this, because of the time frame on this, is this going to affect the August open house?
Yeah. Are we on that one now? Yeah.
Well, it's kind of all... mushing together.
Well,
so, yeah.
Matt and I talked about this some too, but you know, we've had, well, the first one was really successful, but the last two open houses have been great. But the Coast Guard's a major participant with that, you know.
Right.
And if the ramp, and two things. One is if the ramp's tied up, then we lose half of the exhibition area, and we're also going to lose the presentation of the airport. I think the way it was set up before, you know, people come out here, they enjoy themselves. If there's construction equipment and barricades and all that, my personal feeling is I think if we skip a year, we'd be better off for the future events. So.
Okay, so nothing in this August.
But
okay.
That's why he had it on the agenda, so we could discuss that today and hear from the Coast Guard, because you're probably not going to be able to participate much if that was.
We could support with static displays, you know, the fire truck. The 60, we could probably reach out to some of our local units as well and see if they will be willing to bring out like they normally bring out the ant vessel on the trailer and stuff like that. So I think those are still possibilities, but you're right. Once we start breaking ground, the access to that ramp space will be cut off at that point. So it's kind of a decision that we leave to you guys on whether you want to still hold it or not.
And I know Matt and the port staff were talking about getting that road, alternative road out there so that the closed runway can
this
be
this one's in behind here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have your assets parked on the backside, and you probably wouldn't want all that traffic going through there anyway.
I mean, it's outside the fence line. It shouldn't. If that road is accessible at that point, it won't impact us at all. Okay. We have the laydown area inside our fence line, so it won't be out on the ramp area. All the construction materials that they're going to be using is going to be inside the Coast Guard base fence line. So really, it's just going to be that portion of the ramp is just going to be barriered off or taped off so that nobody will be going on there while the construction's being happening. But as far as the road, I don't think it actually proceeds all the way to our ramp. I believe it cuts over. Is it on the backside of the building?
Yeah, so like if we're going to come out to the from our that ramp to the taxiway and come down this taxiway back to actual movement areas, like that road accesses the abandoned runway before it hits us, so you can still use that to get there without us being impacted from how we would need to get the helicopters up. You would just have if you were doing stuff on that road, we would you would have helicopters possibly going back and forth down that taxiway.
2 years ago, when you started the idea of that, about the open house, you mentioned that it would be good to do it every other year. We ended up doing 2 years in a row, but that was part of the original plan.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's what everybody feels. I know that until the museum went in so prominent at Hood River, that if Hood River held it every year, it started dwindling. You know, people were saturated from the year before, so they started switching with Hood River 1 year, the Dells, and they made that for a long time.
Okay.
And that actually seemed to help foster both of them. And I just thought, you know, if we're looking at a situation where we're going to have less presentation, we're going to have more crowded ramp, you know, the ramp was both ramp, your ramp and the ports ramp, they were both pretty full last year between people, displays, food vendors, the cars and all that. So we'd have to cut back quite a bit. And so I don't know, is it worth it to try to have a downsized event, or is it better to skip a year? And we got a couple other activities this year that they're not on weekends, so, but, you know, so.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, I would say, like, NBAA has seen dwindling numbers doing NBAA base at Las Vegas for 5 years in a row. Static display has gone from 120 aircraft to last year was 27. Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to revitalize that. But being in one location and not having it alternate between Orlando and Vegas has actually hurt attendance. So I know the other events, big events even, are getting hurt by every year, yeah. Same location type stuff. What I might suggest is if we want to do a mulligan on this one, we might do a smaller event that showcases what the port's been doing and maybe introduces the new FBO plan or something like that. But also, since you'll have a reduction, maybe make it something where the military does some sort of, you know, like there's a Coast Guard flight demonstration. Maybe we get a request up to Joint Base Lewis-McChord for Apaches to do a demonstration, you know, bring in the Army National Guard. There's a lot of stuff that we could pull in to do something different if we wanted to, and then have the fly in, you know, with general aviation more heavily on the year when we don't have the ramp. Just a thought. I'm not pushing one way or the other, just suggesting. Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, is, you know, the Coast Guard's been very open during that event to let civilians all over their ramp. People are used to doing it. Last year, we had a couple guys that, you know, like Hughes or so, that wanted to go there with their aircraft, you know. You got to barricade, so you got a physical distinction there, but I still think it might create some problems where we're going to have more problems. We'll need more security efforts, I think, if that is if that's not an operational ramp and it's open for the public that day. So I don't know how you guys feel about that, but
I mean, like I said, that area will be off limits basically to anybody for safety reasons and the fact that it's an active construction zone. But so I mean, but again, if we're participating, we'll provide some degree of security for the assets and statics that we bring along the way. So you're still going to have some Coast Guard participation. It just depends on the amount, the extent of it. So,
is the EAA strong enough to take the lead on an August event and then have the airport do a little assist?
That's a possibility, because last year we had a really successful Young Eagle program. We flew 60 children with our pilots. So piggybacking, you know, with the open house, so we had all of this activity and all these people drawn in, but we can have an EAA Young Eagle anytime, and if it's August, good weather, we know, generally,
right.
And if anyone wants to participate in another way that, you know, our parents and our kids that attend would find interesting, generally the city that we were involved with before, the chapter, it was just a standalone Young Eagle. The parents came out with their kids to the airport. We flew them, and they all just left as they went. Having it here, they were going around, and they were participating in all the other stuff, too. So it was a benefit to us, but it could go either way. We could certainly do it. It's just nice. But I understand what John's saying, and I think we did have such a strong event 2 years ago. I mean, we had over 3,000 people, right? They showed up, so... we were ready to fly kids at that point, so we were very excited to have it back-to-back, but we could certainly go either way with it. So we have a couple other events, so if we want to, you know, when you're ready, that we have going up this spring, with Young Eagles here, so.
Okay.
What's the board think?
Or EAA.
Yeah, I'm with JR on this. I think it would be better to put it off till next year. That's fine. I just think that the presentation of the airport's important and having it all torn up. I think we could do some things with the EAA, but it doesn't necessarily need to be tied with the fly.
And what will be happening with the FBO during that time?
Yeah.
What will it even be?
Yeah, so, well, it's another thing, and one of the things I'll mention here is we ended up going out for a grant for redoing the bathrooms and getting all that done, so we ended up getting that. So that's $143,000 we got to redo that, so that's all going to be probably being torn up at the same time.
This summer.
Okay, I think that settles it.
Shutter's full.
There's the bushes.
For me, I would think it would be perception also. I'm thinking if you're only doing half of what there is and somebody's coming for the first time, and they go, wow, this is really dinky, you know, and you've got that perception as opposed to what it was like last year where it was just huge, so.
So we'll pass on the open house and the fly-in, and maybe
we can work the individual events.
Individual events, do something else.
Yeah,
okay.
We can just kind of tailor those.
Would you want a motion or just consensus is fine?
Just consensus is fine.
Okay. So can you give a report now? Staff on anything, and then also your trip. Besides, was that it? The 143,000?
Well, I mean, that was a big one. It was interesting because we had put in for that to redo the bathrooms, tear it up, put a shower in, all those types of things, relocate the water heater that we've got in there with an on-demand, and then you know instead of having two bathrooms where you have a men's and a women's, we'll have three unisex. So it'd just be a lot easier and a lot more functional. So, and initially when I did the presentation for ODA, they said, well, they've got too many other federal projects. And when you're looking at the ODA, their funding priorities are matching federal dollars.
Sure.
So they had some of those dollars that were matched and said, well, you know, we're not going to be able to fund you this year. And then they came back a week later and said, well, we changed our mind. We found some money. So here's your $143,000. So that's good. So got that news last week. So we're putting out a scope right now to get that work done. And so she'll be going here in the next few months on that. So that's good. And also, Will and I went back to Washington, D.C. last week. As you can imagine, it's interesting being back there with the dynamics and the change in regime. So, and there's a lot of people on both sides that are a little up in arms about what's going on back there. But I think that, you know, one of the bigger concerns that people have had where the port is concerned is, are we going to be losing funding for some of the projects that we have? And from what we've seen, we're not going to be impacted by that. A lot of what was being contemplated is losing things because they were focused on DEI or focused on climate change and all that. And so that's all been pulled back. And so when we were given some missives from the feds to say, hey, any of those things that you're putting in your grant applications that have to do with DEI or have to do with climate change, pull them all out. And so those are the ones that really have the most risk when it comes to losing funding, but none of our projects are like that. They're just all based in, like, hey, we need some funding to help for infrastructure, and it's not based in any of those things. So outside of that, it was a good trip. We were able to speak with a number of congresspeople and senators and things. So, and then coming back here, from staff's perspective, I met with a couple engineers. So we've got a number of things working for some of the projects out here at the Airport Industrial Park. Seeing again the blue flags all over the place for the wetlands delineation, so we'll be getting that final report here soon. But the intent is to really prioritize the development of the Airport Industrial Park. So we'll be looking at putting up some light industrial buildings, and I'm talking to a number of our tenants about even some cold storage going out there. So.
Oh, great.
We were told that Schoolar was shutting down April 1st. Is that true? Like permanently? So Chase told.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't have the final word on that, but I know that some heads have rolled at Schoolar because of what's going on here, and a couple of of other projects across the U.S.
Not just here.
Yeah, so like for example, Joe Andrus at Schooler, he was one that was really overseeing this whole project, and he's been kind of pushed off into retirement. So when I talked with Chase about the smell and what we're going to be doing to address that, he says, you know, they were concerned about doing it, so they had engineers on board, and they figured out that they had the solution, but then they took a step back and said, you know, before we spend another dime, we want to make sure that we have the solution finalized. So the last that I got from Chase was that they may not do any processing this year. So, but there is nothing.
But it's not that it's going to be completely done.
Not that they're completely done. There's some interesting talks about you know, what they're going to be doing with the plant, but nothing is confirmed yet. So.
Well, that was a heavy investment to set idle.
Yeah, an $8 million initial estimate turned into 20 plus, so, and it's still not working.
It was used equipment, wasn't it?
Well, used processing. Equipment, yeah. They ended up putting in processing equipment that was scavenged off of a boat. So not a good idea when you're processing at sea when no one really cares about the smell out at sea.
And sure.
Very much care about the smell here. So.
When they come down to put in the blue flags, why did they come down on the wettest day of the year?
Get the most impact of the area.
There's water standing on everything. Yeah.
Everything's wet.
In the top of my car.
Did I hear that right? They used a offshore vessel processing.
It was a seafood boat.
Got it in and put it in there.
Put in a brand new facility.
Yep. So they put in this brand new facility and then basically took old equipment off of a tender.
It was supposed to smell like mint when they were processing, wasn't it?
So the construction in this building will start.
Don't know yet. We have to get the scope done, and then we have a general contractor that's going to be overseeing the project. But I would say within the next couple, 3 months, we'll start starting.
So sometime this summer. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Wes? Deb?
One question here. This area right here, how much room are we going to have between this building we're in and the hangar? In case we want to build some new hangars down here on the other side of this one next door. Are we going to have enough room between our facility?
You're talking about the Coast Guard hangar?
This
is right here.
Yeah.
That was already right here. Dealt with, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
we're talking here. About building some hangars right down here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a, yeah.
Yeah, we've already got
that's not your area, but the only thing is to get into it, we got to come in front of this hangar here.
Oh, you're talking about while we're doing our construction?
Yeah.
I see.
Not necessarily that, but in the future when we build these new hangars, and that's the plan.
Sure. If you need access to our ramp to get to get construction equipment and things like that, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see a reason we can't come up with some kind of agreement that allows you, like, through point access, as long as you stay, I think, on the north side of the east-west fence line, we can maybe offer a little bit of the square footage. We can sort it out. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it won't be a problem. So, okay. I mean, it's already been approved through the airport layout plan and the master plan, so I don't think that we're going to need any access. I think that we can manage it from this side.
Yeah. If that does, just please feed us the information early so that we can adjust whatever spaces that we need for our parking of aircraft and everything like that and start up and shut down because there's very specific.
Sure. Yeah, and anytime we're going to be doing that, we'll let you know because we're going to have to be getting into a fence and opening up access and all that. So.
Okay. What's the timeline for that?
To still TBD? Okay. Yeah.
EAA?
Yeah. So EAA has three scheduled community outreaches. And the first one is May 17th, which is called the Flying Start Program, which is EAA's reach to adults that want to learn how to fly or they just don't know what to do, how to do it, which, you know, what to do first. So nationally, they have a push that week to really get adults that are interested in flying at two airports, two chapters, and have local flight instructors available. So May 17th is the day that we're going to do it here, and we're going to reach out to the community and invite adults to come. Hopefully the building's available and we can do a short presentation, like it's all set up by EAA, so it just talks about flying and how They would recommend you go start up and what your next steps are. So Astorite Aviation will be here in some capacity, so it'll introduce them to the faces of the pilots. Mm-hmm. And then after the presentation, which is like a PowerPoint, probably some light refreshments, then our pilots will take them for a flight, one at a time. So we don't know how large it will be. I'm anticipating 20, 25, 30 at the most. I hope not. But because we can only take one at a time, we can't, like, with our four-seater planes that we did for Young Eagles, we could take three children up at a time. So we have 10 pilots right now. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's on the 17th. It'll probably be, like, from 10, 11 to 3 or something like that. So nothing, there's no publicity yet. We've just set it up so far, getting insurance for it and all that. And then in July, last meeting, we had the Puget Sound Antique Aircraft Association president come down and asked if our chapter would like to host them for lunch. They're going to fly in about 40 to 50 antique or vintage aircraft for the lunch period, and then they'll be traveling throughout the state. It's kind of like a weekend event that they do every other year. So we're going to host that for them.
What day is that going to be, sorry?
That's on, it's a Monday, July 14th.
July
14th.
21. July 21?
14th.
And the port, we kind of talked about maybe 14th. Working with the port for that, and if we want to invite the general public to come and view their aircraft. They're generally, it sounds like the pilots will be in for lunch, and then they'll be by their aircraft, and people that want to talk to them or look at them and find out more information about them. So maybe having a tent or some chairs and tables and figure out what to do for lunch. We're going to feed, the EAA will feed the pilots. If we invite the public, then we have to go further from there. So if the FBO is going to be available, that's going to be something to note in advance, too, or bring in porta-potties if we need to.
Sure, yeah. So, and this might be one of those things where we kind of start the tradition. One is start getting some, you know, individual events like this scheduled so we can start bringing in food vendors for these things. Because we've got a, you know, we've got a plug-in for 30 amp right here. It's like, hey, and this isn't going to be a real huge event. No. So if we just had one, maybe two vendors
trucks,
come in and then that's it, we could start, you know, working on that. The FBO, I don't know about the construction just yet. I mean, that's just going to be a bit to deal with. But whatever the case, we can make sure that we've got restrooms one way or the other.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Just might not
be. Just be a work in progress then.
Sure.
We'll figure it out.
Now, they're flying in here for the afternoon, and then they're leaving and staying overnight somewhere else.
I think Hood River.
Hood River.
Okay. Yeah. I think they do about six or so airports on their weekend fly out.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the last thing is our Young Eagle. We'd like to have another event in August. You know, would be a good time. So that's to be determined, too. We've kind of been waiting to see what was going to go on with the open house before we started any major planning for it. But if we don't have the open house, that's totally fine, too. But I just have to make sure our pilots are ready to go. They have to be all credentialed and insured. And Yeah, so it worked out last year. I think it'll work out again this year. So.
Okay.
That's all we have going. We do have monthly meetings at the FBO, so we'll just play that by ear, too, once construction starts, what we decide to do. We might go over to Tim's house and have a field trip. He's got that simulator, True Core simulators.
That didn't happen here today, but it's over at his house.
He has one at his house. The one on the trailer had technical difficulties, so they couldn't. Demo it here today, but
that looked interesting. I'm sorry that didn't work out.
They're headed out to some colleges in Utah to show it and try to get interest in vocational programs in the college level.
Okay.
And they, so anyway,
how big are your meetings usually?
Pardon me.
How big are your meetings usually?
Generally, 10 to 12, at the most right now.
Okay. If you don't end up at Tim's house, let me know and I'll see if I can reserve commission chambers for you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's see you want to.
Okay.
Awesome. Do you all have your own website, or is it EAA.org and you just
We have our own chapter
anything?
Website, yes.
Okay.
So you go EAA.org, /, we're 1696, but if there's a icon that you just say, find a chapter, and you just put in Astoria or Warrington, it'll pop up.
Okay.
But
okay.
Mayor's got something to say about you don't put in Astoria.
I'm sure it's Astoria.
Astoria Airport.
AST.
No, I got to give credit to the EAA. The event last August was epic for us. I mean, we had a blast flying these kids. And hoping to do the same thing this year with the support of the airport and mm-hmm. everybody else around. It's just mm-hmm. absolutely wonderful getting there. Our youths involved in aviation.
Right.
I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area where NASA and Ames Research and all the space stuff was going on. And I was hooked very, very young in age. So.
Yeah, and even if we don't have the FBO, we used our motorhome last year, mm-hmm. and that made a perfect staging waiting area.
Okay.
Pilot lounge.
Forward staging.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's another thing is that if we don't have any big event going on, the FBO is wide open. We use that for everything. Yeah. Hopefully, then, like I said, the bathrooms are up and running. So.
Yeah. True. That would be. Okay. Mm-hmm. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So last meeting, you wanted to talk about landing fees, and then Deanna sent out a bunch of comps from different people around the Northwest.
Yeah. So.
And so you want to take this?
Sure. Yeah. So this is again just what we're looking at is a graduated landing fee, and this is again GA would not be affected by this at all. This is more just looking at charging a graduated rate for the heavier an aircraft is, the more they would pay in a landing. So if you look at, I think it's page 3 on what we handed out, is what we were proposing is that anything under 10,000 would be free of charge. And then you see at the top of the page there, 10,000 to 20,000 would be $3 per 1,000 pounds. 20,000 to 30,000 would be $3.50. And then on up $4, $5, and $6 for anything 50,000 pounds and above. So that's what we were looking at and proposing. And the number of craft are not going to be, that are affected by this are not too terribly significant. But we get comments on this from some of the people coming in from FlexJets all the time, like, that's all your landing fees are? Mm-hmm. We just paid $1,500 for it, so it's just a couple hundred bucks for us. So I don't think that there would be too much pushback on this. And if you look on, again, on page 3, we were proposing in that yellow number, that is highlighted there, $16,200. That would be the additional revenue that the port could collect on an annual basis based on previous year's numbers. So.
Based on these new rates and nobody diverting because our rates went up.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the special event fee, that was on top of the regular landing and handling fees for Super Bowl was $17,500 for Falcon 50.
Yeah. Wow. So these are landing fees, not tie down.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
The FAA has published some bulletins. They're getting a lot of complaints about people using the ASDB for things like this, chasing down violations and stuff like that. It's not really what it is. Safety created for. It was created for safety. And it sounds like they may put a stop to that. I don't know how that's going to affect everything, but
is that what they use for the automatic billing?
It's under investigation now.
No, it's Vector is what we use for automatic. So
that's yeah.
Is that the engine behind what they use?
They're using that.
What now? Who is
U.S.?
Well, it's not just that.
Yeah.
It's the same as what Flight Tracker does, the radar returns and everything else. So, but it's part of that. ADS-B is part of that, but
they're
it's part
using
of the
it
entire
for violations,
system.
And that's not. That's not allowed.
But most of what AOPA is protesting on behalf of pilots is the enforcement issue, like for people flying over, national sensitive areas. I'm not talking about prohibited areas and wildlife and all that kind of stuff, because it was not supposed to be originally used for that. So.
For enforcement, okay. Any other discussion on the proposed increases?
Anytime there's a raise in fees, I'm hesitant because, I'm aware of how sometimes, it has a deleterious effect. People start coming, but they provided the comparables, and I think that we're in within the comparables. I'm just real sensitive to this issue because I know, right now, North Bend is not popular with
private pilots, they're not popular with the jets. The jets have even hired a corporation out of Klamath Falls right now to try to find an alternative. They'd like to extend Bandon's runway another 1,000 feet because they can't really go in there at their current length, and it has no instrument approach. They're even looking at Cape Blanco because there's a big runway there that's underutilized, but there's no services, so they feel like they're being held hostage at North Bend, and North Bend has fees for everything. One of the things that, and this is not landing fees, this is ramp fees. One of the things that some of the jets are upset about there is some of them, because, you know, it's very popular flight for jets to go in because of the Bandon Dune Golf Course. That's 70% to 80% of all their jet traffic in North Bend is because of that. It's the nearest airport that can handle jet traffic. And one of the things they said is, you know, like Clay Lacy and NetJets, they may fly in there 5-6 times a week, dropping golfers off.
Right.
And then the night that they actually don't fly out again, that they stay overnight, they have to pay an overnight fee because they didn't gas up that time, even though he gassed up 5 other times. So they've asked, I guess, that every time they come in, that they be given some kind of a credit slip so that they can spend the night free, and the city wouldn't do it. And so that's what got this uproar again started. I guess it kind of died down. Now they're back to trying to see if they can get another 1,000 feet added to Bandon and get some instrument approaches. That's a long ways off. But when you have a bad reputation like that, and that story doesn't, I think our reputation here has really improved. I think it's evident with the different people that want to come in. The fees just kind of make me nervous, but I think the comparables are there, and if we need a motion, I'll make a motion that we accept to recommend the proposal.
Real quick question, though. Should we consider, in adopting that new rates or recommending those new rates, and I'd be curious if the port has feelings about it, but some sort of waiver for participants of fly-ins? Like if the port's doing an event that's
sure.
bringing people in as a minor yeah. little inducement?
Yeah, I look at this as the same thing as like a tariff on the waterfront side. It's the maximum that we can charge. If there's some organization or somebody that's coming in frequently, we can always adjust and say, you know, you're staying here, you're buying this much fuel, we can waive the fee. We can work on that. So it's just the maximum. So but it's something that if we had somebody like Clay Lacy that's coming in a number of times, we can certainly work deals on the side with that.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about net jets and flex jets. Sure. I'm just thinking if, you know, if we do a special event, like another fly-in, or the future guys are coming in, and we're trying to make an event out of it, that there's some sort of incentive to do so.
Yeah. But, keep
in mind, but I just don't know if that's going to be unduly burdening the port on its reduced revenues from that.
No. Right. I figured, yeah,
keep in mind, though, this is a public agency, and you do for one, and you got to do for the other.
Not necessarily. No. If you're inducing, you don't. And ports run on a different. They run on a very different rules than cities do.
But it doesn't affect general aviation, so
yeah, that's true.
None of the Puget Sound people would be affected. Okay.
Yeah, I'd be fine with increasing it if we stay moderate, and I like the idea of some of the bundling ideas. That's very standard, even I'm guessing in public agencies, that you can volume discount or bundle it with the overnight, have some kind of offset on the overnight or the fuel or the. But yeah, if somebody's just landing, dropping people off and heading out, then that's baseline, and then you can make adjustments if somebody wants. Yeah, we get a school that comes in and wants to use this for approaches or.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd move to recommend the landing fees as presented to the port commission.
Okay.
Say
thank
that
you.
Again.
You did that.
A little louder.
Moving to adopt the landing fee recommendation as presented by staff.
I think that's a move in a
I'll
second.
I'll second his.
Okay.
That's fine.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. So we'll go with the recommended fees. Okay, so you also wanted to talk about design options for our upgrade here at the FBO, and you had sent out some ideas, and do you want to lead this one too?
You can take that, it's fine. I just, again, I'd sent some just some basic information out what we were thinking about as far as turning this into a second story with a fishbowl up top with some conference space. And then we wanted to, you know, chat about do we need a pilot lounge room, place to, you know, catch a nap, that type of thing. So this is what I want to get from the AAC is just some suggestions, because you know one of the things we need to do is to get an architect on board to start designing all this. And so first order of business really is to get the scope, like here's all of the things that we want in it. So
Real quick question, is there still a plan for a third story viewing deck?
Yes.
Okay, because the only reason why I asked that question is because, and I don't want to speak for that town, but I do know that Port of Astoria has, or not, sorry, the Port of Astoria, the city of Astoria has not always had a clear process for allocating like TLT money, but the city of Warrington dumps all of its TLT money into the Hammond Marina because it's a recreational facility, and a recreational viewing platform, it may be, I don't know if Astoria would ever... you know, jump on that, because I don't think the port gets TLTs, do they? Transient London tax from your... No, okay.
Get the blank stares there. Yeah, I think not.
You know, or county. County actually issues TLTs, too. And I don't think they give them the port, but it's in Warrington, so there's a potential that... Because county has a competitive grant process they're going to be kicking off for TLT money. Maybe a way to pay for that third story. I mean, it's not much, but sure. Like... I'm just defraying the cost to make it all the more nicer for the belows.
Yeah, I mean anything helps.
So I'm just suggesting that as a
even the viewing area if you do the fishbowl idea on the next deck.
Well, I mean the fishbowl. No, it's not the fishbowl idea. It'd be the viewing pavilion on the top.
Okay.
But if you wanted to take whatever construction cost that was, you know, because you're modifying your roof and all that.
Right.
You know, that may be an avenue for county TLT money grants because. Yep. I mean, I don't know how much it'll be, but I know, like, the city gets 40 to 60 grand from the county on that.
Yeah.
Just as a kickoff, so. Sure.
Yeah, I can certainly talk with folks at the county, too, so.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Sure. And, by
the
way...
it'll be a tourism facility. That portion will be. Sure.
Yeah.
So.
By the way, there's one proposal, or maybe two, in Salem about modifying the formulas on the TLT money, so.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. There's a lot of opposition to that, but there's a lot of support,
right.
too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when we have this designed, when we finally get to construction, I think this would be a huge draw for this place.
Oh, heck yeah.
Huge draw.
Yeah. So, my thoughts originally were restaurant, but we don't have the traffic for somebody to survive, I don't think, if they put in a restaurant here.
Yeah.
But obviously you could do kitchen space so that somebody could do events and have full, solid kitchen area. Event space where you got dividers and stuff like that. Now the Seaside Convention Center was saying that they recently upgraded, recently 2-3 years, their meeting rooms, you know, with the divider walls, but the multimedia in each one of those.
Sure.
So make sure that's state of the art for each section, and really fast internet, because anybody that does anything's going to need that. And I like the idea of putting in a simulator up there in the pilot's lounge, but, those portable simulators.
Yeah.
I found out how much those simulators cost.
Yeah. We can get it funded.
I mean, is there no like Microsoft grants for that? I know Sisters Airport got Microsoft to pay for their entire simulator.
Yeah.
Really?
Just the basic.
There's grants out there that it can be used for. So.
Yeah.
And they're having a lot of success with that. With one of their writers, you know, she's been getting up for schools and.
I think that's how they tied it in. Is
students
in education.
Yeah. It might be nice to have that, you know, the upper deck or the observation, is have like panels that explain and educate a little bit about what airports are. You know, this is our approach into the runways.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah, I think you could have
really
a kiosk
nice.
Out there, a couple of kiosks.
Yeah.
You know,
explain
everything.
So people watching airplanes, whatever, they go, oh, they're coming in the runway or whatever. And, and then also maybe tie into the radio. Where
we'd have speakers up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So
you are here.
So I don't know the square foot capacity would be required, but it seems like if the main room, the main conference area upstairs, was, you know, somewhat convertible to where it had multi-purpose. But I would think the numbers would have to be about 50 to accommodate up to 50 people, or is that too many? If we could go 50, but then do we have the parking space here to allow for that kind of usage?
Well, I think we can figure out the parking.
Yeah.
You know, because part of this is to move that road to the west so that we're not sharing the same parking lot with Electro, and once we do that, if you look at the ALP, for example, there's plenty of parking that we can figure out.
And the other thing, you know, if you're looking at, you could run out of space real quick with everything you dream of having there. But if you look at having a pilot's lounge, which makes sense for somebody, crew rest area.
Right.
That doesn't have to be a couple of recliners or something. But in the past, there was demand out here for some retail space, just cubicles. And they got kicked out of here. And the guy that had the golf pro shop or whatever, too, they got kicked out of here because there was no real space for them to do that. But as the functions increase, it would be probably a good deal to have at least a counter space somewhere for like rental car agencies to use or something. I don't think we can build a facility and come back later and start putting little rooms or something in. So I just wondered if we should consider some limited retail space as well, or vendor space.
Yeah, we can look at that. I hadn't really thought about that, but sure. Well, then the other side is like with Enterprise and Lums, they don't really want any space out here, so
they don't. No.
No, they're not interested. So
they're not interested.
No. Why don't we'll just do keep it? Getting more rental cars.
Why didn't the port do it?
Yeah, we're gonna. <That's> got a van coming.
In a van.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, it's gonna be the next one. So it's what I wanted to do is get to basically about 40% of the purchase price of that Camry, and that's already, we're already on it. So there'll be a van in the port's future pretty quick.
So. Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, that is one of the biggest issues. You know, if Lieutenant Weeks, the Coast Guard, didn't help out when the Air Force got here, those guys would have been stuck because they had all their medical stuff that they had to transport. And so the Coast Guard provided them a pickup and a van. And they still had to make a second trip because there was like 19 people, you know.
Yeah.
And when they called a shuttle, it was going to be the Prius.
Well, and part of this is, as we've done this, the pizza for patches thing, you know, the patches for pizza, whatever it is, the you know, we're getting more and more folks coming in for military operations. Yeah. And so this is, again, when we look at this expansion, it's nice to be able to host 20 to 30 people in here without ever having everybody kind of step on one another. So all those will be, you know, those things will be really, really helpful. So.
And, you know, the military is a big part, I think, of our program here, too. One of the things that they asked last time, and your staff accommodated them with that auxiliary room there, was, is there a place we could lock a few things up until we get back tomorrow? And I think that's helpful to have that in the facility somewhere.
Yeah, and we can work on all that. You know, we've got a number of different storage areas, so stuff like that's easy.
How many square feet are we talking total?
Probably about 3,500 square feet, something like that. All floors.
Yeah, parking sensors shouldn't be an issue.
And we're going to have what, a stair and an elevator then to accommodate?
Okay. We were just change the subject. We were about the lift or an elevator. We were just at a new building construction in California, and it's a children's ministry area, and they want to have for the ADA a elevator, but they're putting in a lift, and I guess a lift has different legal requirements than an elevator, and I don't know anything about that or not, but it's much cheaper to do and operate and.
Same thing as an elevator, but it's not enclosed. Yeah. There's no doors. It's just a cage type thing that goes to the second
like
floor.
Like for buses, only it's bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dumbwaiter, but for people. I don't know. That's just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, and that's something to consider, but the weather around here, I don't know that you're.
Yeah, this is inside. It's in.
No, is it okay?
Yeah, it's not an exterior lift. Okay. It's an interior. Lift.
So got to get in the building though, and then you still got the elevation, but I guess you got your ramps.
Yeah.
So, that's just food for
all
thought.
TBD.
Okay.
Thank
you. Anything else? Any other ideas?
Maybe for an idea of funding, if you want to do a funding campaign or whatever, you know, like the column did the bricks and the by the Maritime Museum, that little building had bricks that you could buy too. Sure. I probably want to put my tail number on it.
There you go.
FBO Plus.
There's an outfit in Seattle that builds these glass elevators. You know, you heard from 1 to 5, 6 people. It's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. It might be worthwhile for the port to submit its airport master plan to, at some point, probably not right now, but some point to the city to get adoption on that side, if there's any additional standards or variations we need so that we can get those variances before they require a variance. Just thinking hangar development and everything else.
Is that enough?
Works for me, yeah.
Okay.
It's easy enough, yeah.
All right.
Oops, sorry about
that. So here's a couple of items. Do we need to talk at all about the ODA meeting in a couple of weeks? Or?
Oh, I was just going to bring that up. This is the first time in years that the Oregon Department of Aviation is going to have their board meeting here in our county. It'll be at the Boynton Room in the county's boardroom on the 3rd. And I just think it's a great opportunity. I've been asked to go do the welcome there, and I talked to a couple of the people already. One of the reasons they're down here is that there's been some increased activity in here, and they want to get around in the state a little bit more. So I think that's a plus that they're going to be meeting here. So.
Yeah. Well, that's and great. Yeah, and then just to dovetail, I will be given a presentation at that meeting, and then they will be coming over here for a tour after that.
Good.
So. Mm.
Excellent. Jerry, we should probably coordinate remarks because I've been asked to open up the proceedings myself, too.
Okay.
And they gave me 15 minutes, if you can believe it. So.
Raise your hand if you've been asked to open.
So, yeah.
Well, I was supposed to give kind of a history of the airport and
so
that kind of stuff. So I won't step on your promoting warrant and thing.
Wasn't very clear what they wanted, but yeah.
And then... the WPA is coming into town, you said.
Yes. Washington Pilots Association, they're coming in on the 11th. I gave it to your guys the other day, Matt, so they could put it on a calendar. They're coming in on the 11th. They've already made a deal with the Riverwalk, and they expect maybe up to 50 people.
Okay.
And they're going to stay for 4 nights. And I think that's exciting in the fact that...
4 nights?
That's quite
a flyout.
They're
that
flying
we're getting
in.
That kind of activity, you know. And the guy, Jerry Barkley, that is their director for this event, they got kind of pressured, not pressured, they've got kind of suggested to come down to Oregon to us because of 2 years ago's airfare where some people were down here. Mm-hmm. And that Tom Jensen that brought in the Coast Guard, the N3N that was in Coast Guard livery. He's part of that group now, too, and so they all agreed that this was a great place to come. The funny part was they were asking me different locations to go to. Everybody wanted to go to the Column, but they were talking about, okay, what else should we go see and while we're there for that kind of time? And I said, well, I hope if the weather is nice, you guys jump in your planes, go up to Leadbetter Point or somewhere there, fly the Oregon coast, maybe have lunch at Tillamook in advance. You could arrange that. And there's a long silence, and they go, yeah, we're an aviation group. I guess we should have some flying. They hadn't planned on anything flying. So. But it sounds like we're getting quite a bit of support. I'm glad to hear you're still pursuing the van thing. But, you know, there's a couple other players like Bruce Connors with a bus. But with that many people, because they said up to 50 people,
wow,
they're going to need some transportation.
Sure.
And that's one of our biggest problems that we keep facing here. So,
okay.
But I think it's really neat that they're choosing us, and this is their only destination for the year.
So are we going to need to host anything, or
no,
are they just
no, it's,
show up, they go to the...
Their coordinated event, yeah.
Okay.
And other than as chair, you know, you're going to be responsible for providing good weather.
Okay.
Because it is June 11th.
I'll work
on
that. Put in a request. The upcoming meeting dates, I've put that in already, and my schedule during the summer is pretty slammed. What I had thought of doing before, when we still had the open house in August on the agenda, I was thinking of setting up a subcommittee, an events committee for the summer, and then have John or somebody run it and handle the antique fly-in and in July and the event in August, but I'm not sure if we need to do that. It sounds like you guys are handling most of the hosting on these other event, summer events. If the WPA doesn't need any help, then
right.
I'm not sure we need that, a separate committee. It sounds like you guys are already, all the
yeah.
infrastructure's already in place,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, well, we're going to need to iron out some details with the port on what we're going to need for approximately 50 just pilots, you know.
Sure.
Where people are flying in, so.
And coordinate with food
yeah.
trucks.
Do they have,
whatever.
Like, a county shuttle vans and things like that? That
well, what's up, Bruce? But I don't know. There's supposed to be somebody else doing it too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Bruce has got a couple of he's got a couple of double deckers running around, but he's also got some smaller vans that'll hold like 15. So.
But so the WPA is going to make their own ground transportation.
Yeah, we're going to help coordinate
okay.
that, but that's all.
Okay.
I mean, they're doing the arrangements. So.
Is the Oregon Pilots Association get involved in other states' fly-ins?
Not at this point,
okay.
but we're changing things up, so yeah, we're trying to get more involved in getting out communication to pilots and things like that.
Okay, good. That's what I've got. Anything else, new business, anything for the good of the order?
I got a couple things if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
One is I'd just like to thank the port. We had Dr. Henry come down, you know, for the physicals. He did 11 physicals here. I think that's important to keep the pilots current and everything and get the access to. And they provided him a space that he could lock up at night and all that. And it worked out really well. And I just thank them for their cooperation. Then I had a question, I guess, more for Matt. You know, I think it's more than a rumor that we may get a vision jet based on this airport. And if that is the case, does that single-engine vision jet qualify as a turbojet for the airport for the additional FAA allocation?
For the regional, yeah.
There is, yeah, that was a misconception. That was something that was talked about a while ago, that hey, if we have one jet domiciled here, that we get some additional funding. It's not true.
Oh.
But we do get the regional designation, don't we, back? Back?
As far as the regional, I double check, but we get zero funding from that. And I checked, I confirmed that with several sources at the
FAA.
Doesn't
change the EPS.
Yeah, it doesn't change it. So I was hopeful, but I was told no.
Oh. Well, it'd still be okay to have a jet here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I talked with Chris. He's in when he was in Knoxville last week, so he's doing the training back there. So it's coming.
The jets on our helicopters don't count.
Is it?
Government aircraft don't count.
Sorry, tried.
Good shot.
Now, you know Chris Novoselic.
Well, we got a jet out here. The Coast Guard has a jet.
Yeah.
It is domiciled here.
It may not.
Just throw an ASB
transmitter.
Call it
a day.
Get a slingshot and throw it up once in a while.
Took three jets to keep one running.
There you go.
So I was wondering, when Doc Hochberg stayed over, he tied his plane down out there. I've noticed on the website we've got hangars. You can rent hangar space, is that right, for overnight?
Hangar space
down?
Is kind of...
We don't have any
limited.
Transient.
We don't have any transient. Right?
Okay. Is that part of the idea with these guys, the two new ones?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk more later. Okay. Anybody else?
Matt, has anybody from Oshkosh, like Amit, has he reached out to you at all in the last month?
About?
I forwarded the plan for road realignment and the hangars off to Oshkosh, and as you know, our lease is getting close to being up. So, we're going to probably at some point be engaging with you guys to talk about a new lease.
Okay.
The encouraging part is that it looks like Oshkosh has a bigger appetite for potential. Locally, the word is that there's no appetite for any type of expansion, but from what I'm hearing from vocational, that might not be that might be different. So
oh, okay.
It just depends on how things go. But at least the news will probably be talking to you guys
sure.
at some point soon.
Yeah, and I talked with Paul about that numerous times. Says, you know, there's ways that we could work on that. You know, and so if they're looking for any expansion, I know that they were talking about more about using the vertical space that they have better. But if they're looking at expansions, I told them whatever they're looking for.
I'll put it this way. We have relocated our newest product line to Orlando because the icers were not as heavy in terms of demand as they were anticipated. Mm-hmm. The Seattle line was kind of crap. Sure. So there's talk of bringing it back here. But sure. Because the demand for products here is so high, lead times are too long, they would like to bring it back here. Sure. So they're just... space.
Sure.
So.
Well, and this goes again to the AIP development, and again talking with Paul about it, is that they, if they needed some space, and initially we had talked about, you know, potentially 30,000 square feet out there, like, if you need it, we can figure that out.
I think that discussion with you is probably going to end up at a higher level than Paul.
Sure.
So it'll be a guy named Amit, who's the VP for operations.
Sure looks like you guys increased output quite a bit with everything sitting there for shipment.
Yeah, I wish components that were coming in were better quality, but yeah. We've been seeing American-made goods not so great, so.
All right, well, thank you. We're adjourned.